Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. We are in an election season and it is not over yet. We have Mr. Stan Watson today who's going to talk to us about Politics 101. And I can't wait to hear all the great information he's going to give us about politics and government. Stan Watson is a native of Memphis and has lived in DeKalb County, Georgia for over 40 years. He is a Navy veteran and served 10 years active and reserve service. He received his undergraduate degree from Georgia State in criminal justice. Stan has worked for the U.S. Department of Education, Matria Healthcare, and Tenet Healthcare in responsible leadership positions. He recently worked as a CIS analyst with the U.S. Commerce Department, and he is currently retired. But Stan has a long and spectacular career working in Georgia government. Stan was a state representative in the Georgia General Assembly for over 10 years, where he was chairman of the DeKalb House delegation and the Georgia Legislative Black Caucus. He was also a member of DeKalb County Board of Commissioners for 4 years and a deputy presiding officer. Stan says his skills and leadership comes from his mother and grandmother, acknowledging those women in his life, and his dad, who was a Baptist minister. And when he is not working, he enjoys concerts, sports, and wine tastings. He hadn't told me about those wine tastings. I need a little invite to that. So one of the things Stan is doing now is he's actually running for House District 90 in Georgia, where there is a special election on February 9th. And so he is one of the candidates for that position. Welcome, Stan. How are you today?
Dr. Houston, I am very well to talk to you. Feel very good about talking to you today. And I'm trying to stay COVID free.
I heard that. Everybody's trying to stay COVID free. I'm so glad you're here. You're the ideal person to talk to right now. I know I've been trying to get you on the show for a while. You've been giving me the diss here for a little while, but I finally got you. I finally locked you down.
Well, you sure did. You sure did. Come on a great day.
Well, I'm so glad that you're joining us today. We are currently still in election season here in Georgia. As you know, we have a runoff election for two U.S. Senate seats, which mm-hmm. are extremely important. It's no secret I am a Democrat and a proud Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I am rooting right now for Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock, who is a classmate of mine. We went to school together when he was at Morehouse College, and also John Ossoff, who is running for the U.S. Senate seat. And we're really excited about those two. But what I want to talk about more so is not necessarily them as candidates, but talking, as you put your title, as Politics 101, and talking about the importance of political power in exercising your right to vote. We have this runoff election on January 5th for the U.S. Senate seats to represent Georgia. Right. And we also have your special election in DeKalb County for House District 90 on February 9th.
That's correct. And
so because you have such a long career as a public servant, mm-hmm. not a politician, a public
right.
servant, and looking at, really helping the people, mm-hmm. I thought it would be ideal to talk to us at this moment about what it means. A lot of people don't understand the importance of the Senate and what it means to make sure that we get those two Democrats elected in order to make sure that we have a successful Biden-Harris administration. So before we get started on that conversation about political empowerment, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your background and your work in public service?
Okay. Well, I think you said it most in the bio there, but I'll just try to embellish it a little bit more. I've had a great base of community support because I started in local politics, and I started in local politics by volunteering. I volunteered for the Boy Scouts. I volunteered as a coach. Worked in recreation a number of years, volunteered for organizations like the Sickle Cell Foundation and those kind of things. But I think the most successful thing that I could hang my hat on in getting involved is I was president of my homeowners association. And I started out in my political career being a president of a homeowners association. And really, I started out as vice president. And I had a friend who graduated from Albany State University and in the SIAC. And he came to my house one day and was talking about the need for young Black men to get involved in the community. So I went down to the meeting one day and eventually got involved, joined the organization, and joined the organization as the vice president. In about 2 years, he moved back to Daugherty County, I think it was, and I ended up being the president. And so from that transpiring, I became the president. I became more involved in local politics as it relates to zoning, as it relates to transportation, beautification, and what's going on in our school system. So that's kind of how I got started, just being involved in the community association as a vice president and president.
So what made you finally decide to run for office? First, you were a commissioner, correct?
Right.
What made you run for DeKalb County Commissioner and then move on to running for the Georgia State House?
Well, I ran initially in the early 80s. We had just moved into the community in DeKalb County. DeKalb County was still mostly rural. We still had people delivering milk and those things in the community. It was not as many African Americans as they are now in public office or in the community. When I first moved to DeKalb County, every elected official was a white official. That meant our judges, our sheriff, our congressman, our district attorney, the solicitor, and even the police chief were all white. But there was an influx of African Americans coming in from all around the country to make DeKalb County a bedroom community, so to speak, as the sister of the city of Atlanta. And so when I moved out here, as a state, there were not a lot of things going on for African Americans. The only thing that we had at the time was the NAACP and the United College Fund, United Negro College Fund. And so being involved at that time, we started getting small pockets of African Americans in a particular precinct or district or community. And I ran for state senate first and was unsuccessful because the district was not as affluent as it is now with African Americans who were ready to vote or were encouraged to go out and vote because they were just moving to the community. After that, I was successful in 1997 and became an elected official. I replaced Thurgood Baker, who is the first African-American attorney general in the state, and I won his seat in a special election in 1997. And became involved more in the community, understood then what it meant to be a actual public servant and to serve the people of Georgia. And I learned from that experience that everybody has an idea of they want to be an elected official. But being an elected official is more than just putting a badge on or the title. You have to deliver services and deliver information to your community. In doing that, sometimes you have to make sure that you understand the needs and disposition of other people in other areas of the state of Georgia. Because in the Georgia General Assembly, there is 180 members. So that means that if you want to get anything done, you have to have friendships and relationships to get it done, because it takes 91 votes to pass any piece of legislation that would be successfully sent to the governor for signature. So that means, Ramona, that I have to know what the people in Savannah want when they're talking about shrimping or the crab or the fishing industry. I need to know what the canine industry looks like in South and North Georgia, what the farmers that have pecan farms in Albany, what do they need? And what do the people in Valdosta? Because their needs then become my needs as a state representative. And I have to make sure that they understand the needs of the inner city and the suburban area that I represent in DeKalb County. So a lot of times it's about relationships and being a public servant so you can bring things home for your community.
I'm so glad you talked about the importance of relationships, because a lot of people don't understand that although our representatives are there to represent our particular district,
correct,
they represent the interest of all of Georgians, right? Correct. Because relationships are important. You've got to help the people in Savannah in order that the Savannah representatives can help the people in Atlanta, right? In order to get those 91 votes. And that's a good way to move into politics 101 and talking about this upcoming election.
Sure.
And why the U.S. Senate is so important. Can you explain how politics works on the national level and why it is so important for communities to get out and vote? And my audience, I specifically speak to the African-American and Latino communities, but why should they be so engaged? Why should we be engaged in this U.S. Senate runoff?
Well, I'll use the template because as a state representative, we mirror what they do in Congress at the national level, at the federal level. So just for politics 101, there are three branches of government, and those is the executive, judicial, and also the executive judicial, and then the legislative. So you have to make sure that people understand the reason or the definition of what each one would do. You know, the executive, of course, is the president. Judicial is our court system, and legislative is what we do as legislators. But it's real important to understand how the three work together. But it's also important how the legislators have to work together as well, because you know, three branches of government, when you look at what happens, we call it a three-legged stool. You have the governor in Georgia, you have the president on the federal level, you have the House and Senate in Georgia, but you have the House and Senate as well on the federal level. So we happen to have the president, who happens to be a Democrat, and we have the House, which is majority Democrat, but we don't have the Senate. Then we have to make sure that we have to learn to negotiate to get things done, because if the president wants something or the House passes something, it has to also pass the Senate. And if the Senate is not controlled by the ruling party of the president, which is the Democrats, then that could be held up in the Senate as it relates to funding, as we've seen most recently with the COVID relief bill. It could be held up as for the environment or for fracking or for water rights or for the environment, if you don't have the House, the Senate, and the president. And basically how it works is that all budgets or all matters that relates to finance starts in the House. So any budget that has anything to do with what we would call the porker for making the country run starts in the House. So it's important for the House to be Democratic as it is today. So we can pass anything in the House because we have a majority of Democrats in the House. The president will be waiting eagerly to sign that bill. But in order to sign the bill and make it law, he also has to pass it in the Senate. And so if the Senate is Republican, that impedes him or her from doing their job, because then it becomes a negotiation or the bill is dead in the Senate. So it's important to have three of the three-legged stool, to have all three legs of the stool in that particular party to be successful. So in this respect, Ramona, with a new president and vice president, we know that we have the House. We're in desperate need of getting the Senate with our two Senate races in Georgia. The spotlight right now is on Georgia because most people are calling a firewall for Biden or a firewall for the Republicans. And if we're able to get these two Senate seats, then the president can enact whatever they want to do to make sure that they take care of the things that's on their agenda to make America what they think we should do to make Atlanta or America great again, as it relates to healthcare, environment, the economics, or fracking, use of fossil fuels and those kind of things. So you have to make sure that we take care of those kind of things if we had the three-legged stool. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. I'm glad you talked about the three-legged stool and breaking down the legislative part of that stool between which is the Congress and the legislators, and explaining what the House of Representatives does as opposed to the Senate. Correct. A lot of people, because, you know, we don't have civic education that much in the school system, a lot of us came up through the educational K-12 system, not understanding quite how politics works.
Right.
And so a lot of people criticize President Obama because he was unable to get a lot of things done that he wanted to do on his agenda. And those of many of us learned in that era why he couldn't get things done is because you had the Senate who would not pass some of the legislation. And so that that lesson, people are becoming more and more aware of how politics works. And well, same thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, hopefully with this new administration, that will happen. But if we happen not to receive the two Senate seats, you have two veteran senators as president and vice president that should know how to negotiate the Senate pitfalls and know how to work across the aisle. And that means simply working with Republicans or working with people that don't have the same cultural values that you have, that we have, and try to make sure that those kind of things will get done. So I think that Kamala Harris, as a former U.S. senator, and Biden as a former U.S. senator, could make sure that we navigate the challenges we may have with a divided government, with if the Senate remains Republican and the House remains Democrat, and we have a Democratic president and vice president. So I think we have two able-bodied leaders in our president and vice president that may be able to navigate and negotiate those difficulties we may have.
And I'm glad you stated that, because and that goes back to your previous point about the importance of relationships and the importance of understanding how the levers of power work. And because our two people in the executive office understand the Senate, to your point, hopefully they'll be in a position, they're well positioned, let's say that, to make some deals in the Senate and make sure our government works together and move some, make sure this legislation moves that they want to do.
Correct.
And, you know, Biden and Harris, are their motto is Build Back Better. And Warnock and Ossoff are pushing health, jobs, and justice. So we hope that they will be able to accomplish those agendas. So thank you so much for explaining that. Is there anything else you want to add to that conversation on this upcoming important January 5th election?
Well, we've passed the time that you can register to vote in the election coming up for the runoff on January the 5th. But now the calls to action, I think, would be encouraging people to go out and vote, taking their friends and family out to vote, and making a plan to go out and vote. And then after the voting has been completed, once we have won, or if we don't win the Senate seat, is that the call for action for me would make sure that we still have access to the leaders that we elected and make sure that we hold them accountable for the items and the things that we need in our respective communities.
Thank you so much. So make sure that you get out to vote. Make sure you take your families and family members and friends out to vote.
Correct.
And after the election, make sure we hold our elected officials accountable. So let's move on into your election on your special election on February 9th. Tell us a little bit about what you want your agenda to be. What is your agenda for DeKalb County, and why should people in DeKalb County support your candidacy?
Well, this is will be my second attempt to be back in a place that I'm very familiar with, and that is the Georgia House of Representatives down at the Gold Dome in Atlanta, Georgia. This year will be an exciting year, but more importantly, it will be a year that we do something that's very, very important to the people of Georgia, and that is we just completed our census, and the information that has been collected and the research that we've gathered from our census will be used to do a certain amount of things for the citizens of Georgia, i.e. Our medical, our health care, our system with our children in school, the special need program, SNAP program, special assistance that we might need for our kids in school and for the seniors and the aging, for those kind of things, is going to be a very important year. It's also a year based on the census that we have to what we call do reapportionment. And reapportionment is very important to us because this is the time that we take the time to draw lines that relates to our local and federal government. So that means, Ramona, that we'll be drawing lines for the school board. We'll be drawing lines for the county commissioners or city council. We'll be drawing lines for House seats, for Senate seats, and most importantly, for congressional seats. And let me tell you why that's so important. Because the person that's in power at the time that reapportionment comes along, i.e. Democrats or Republicans, those are the persons that actually draw the lines. So Georgia is right now dominated by Republicans, so Republicans will be drawing the lines. So in my election, I'm pushing myself as an experienced legislator to understand how to work both sides of the aisle with Democrats and Republicans, that I have relationships with the persons that are in power now, like the governor, the attorney general, insurance commissioner, and others, and people that's down in the legislature where that will be drawing lines as it affects our government here in DeKalb County. And so I'm pushing my leadership skill as well as my experience in reapportionment, because I've done two reapportionment as a state representative. I understand how the lines go, and I know that sometimes people draw maps and you never see the map until the day that we vote on it. And so I'm just pushing that I'm educated enough in public service that I would be the one that would know how to work with the people to make sure that we take care of our school board, our county commission map, our state representative map, congressional maps, and those kind of things, to see how it would work.
So I'm glad you talked about your experience, because a lot of times I'm all for new blood. Don't get me wrong. People coming in with new ideas and innovative ideas. But we also need those experienced public servants in office to make sure that we are moving forward. We're using our knowledge and our wisdom to move our agendas forward. Mm-hmm. If people want to support your candidacy, do you have a website or anything that they can visit?
I am so old fashioned. All I do is ask them to send me an email. That email is politicalstand@yahoo.com. And I certainly will show you very much concern for sending an email by responding back to you. Again, that's politicalstand@yahoo.com. politicalstan@yahoo.com. But it's very important to have new blood. But at this point in juncture, Ramona, it's going to be tough for a new person to go down in a special session and deal with the avenues of trying to get a bill passed, or trying to get a map drawn, or trying to bring funding back to their respective district for their schools and teachers, or for special projects like transportation and road improvement, transportation improvement, or infrastructure improvements in your respective district, if you don't know the people or the players that actually be that would be in charge making sure that those types of monies are allocated in the suburban area as well as in rural Georgia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you all, speaking of that, you know, looking at the black elected officials in Georgia, do you all have any type of formal program that y'all have where y'all mentor the new people coming in and kind of school them on the new representatives that are elected and school them on how the process works, school them on how to build relationships and how to get things done in the Georgia legislature?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes and no. We do have what we call a mentoring process with the Georgia Legislative Black Caucus. That's the group of African-American men and women that come together to represent and also make sure that we have discussion about things that affect our community and how we best can make sure that we're bringing those ideas to the forefront of legislative matters so that we can get the funding, get the legislative bills passed and those kind of things that affect our communities. But most time when people come to the Georgia Legislative, comes to the Georgia General Assembly, they have their preconceived ideas of what they're going to do. It's a difference between being an activist, a politician, and a public servant. Mm-hmm. An activist is someone that's going to shake the cages and make somebody bring attention to a particular idea or incident. But that person never, that activist is never a person that can actually go vote on anything. A politician is a person that understands the process of getting things done in a political manner and making sure that it works. And a politician always knows how to follow the money to make sure that they understand what's going on and what direction the legislative body is going in. Then a public servant is a person that's reaching out to the community on a consistent basis to make sure that he or she is taking care of the community. Well, right now, with 2021 coming up with our legislative session, you're going to need a politician and a public servant to get it done. And so it's going to be fast-paced. It's going to be who you know or relationship that you have known. How are you able to talk to, again, a person from Savannah about why the harbor should be dredged to bring bigger cargo ships in versus why Brunswick needs their harbor dredged so that we can bring cars in from Japan or China or wherever versus why we should keep our bases in Augusta and Columbus running and those kind of things or why we should be taking the K-Line industry or K-Line industry and making sure that those people still prosper or why are we still packaging Vidalia onions versus pecans in Georgia and shipping them across the world. So it's going to take a person that has a little bit of knowledge base to get it done. And at this point, we don't have the luxury of trying to train someone that wants to be an activist versus wanting to be a politician or a public servant.
And you say you're the politician and public servant for the time.
For right now, I can be either or. Because I understand the politics. In politics, all you have to do is follow the money and you understand what the legislative process will be. Mm-hmm. We've seen that on a local, on a national stage with the billions of dollars we have for COVID. We understand if COVID passes, we know that all the PPE equipment would be available and how we can get our schools reopened. So if you follow the money, you can always follow what the legislative priorities will be. And so I'm saying at this point and this juncture and where we are in America and where we are in the state of Georgia, it's going to take a person that's experienced. I mean, our president is 70 some years old. He has the experience to make it work is a perfect example because he has spent time in the Senate. I spent 10 years in the Georgia General Assembly on a state level, and I spent 4 years in local politics as a county commissioner. So I think that I'm best suited to make sure that at this particular juncture, that we can have a person that can represent the community rapidly and at a point where we can make a difference. And at my age, I'm not going down to stay 20 years, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we're so happy to hear that you're running for House District 90 in DeKalb County, and we wish you the best on your election. Thank you, thank you for your conversation on Politics 101 and the importance of us getting out to vote for this upcoming Georgia U.S. Senate runoff election. We got to get folks out to vote. Have any other things you want to add?
Or just remember that once we get everybody elected, to hold your elected officials accountable by inviting them to your respective community association meetings, homeowner association meetings, to our churches, to our PTAs, because once that person gets there, sometimes they forget who put them there. old guy in the General Assembly, Calvin Smyre, the dean of the house, told me a long time ago, if you were driving the country and you see a turtle on top of a fence post, he or she didn't get there by themselves, someone put them there.
Yep, that's it. Well, words from Representative Calvin Smyre, the dean.
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Stan, and my best wishes to you and your
team. Thank you, Dr. Houston. I appreciate it, and thank you, listeners, as well.
Hi, good afternoon. We have Mr. Stan Watson here, who's going to tell us his strategy for college success. Hi, Mr. Watson. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. So could you tell our audience what school you attended or schools? And then what is that one strategy you have for college success?
Well, I attended Columbia College for a short time for my associate's degree, and I attended Georgia State University for my bachelor's in science degree in criminal justice. The one thing I would like to say to our listening audience, especially our young people, the thing I would say that helped me in college was relationships. I had relationships with those that understood the curriculum better than I did. And oftentimes, they were not the teachers. They were some of my best friends or people that were on my team. So to speak, or in my circle. And so relationships helped me a lot to make it work. Then I wanted to make sure that those persons could help not only me, could help people around me as we tried to make sure our group grew. And then I made sure that I identified my future goals and aspirations so I could start making those contacts while I was in college so that when I got out of college, I'd be ready to go. So I would think it would be relationships with my friends and my circle and making sure that they understand the curriculum in the school as much as I did. And then make sure that you ID your future goals and aspirations so you can attack those quickly and resolve any challenges you may have in getting it done.
Love that advice. Relationships are important in college. And as you stated, it's great to have relationships with your peers who can also provide you with great advice while you're in college. The importance of helping others, like you said, growing, widening that circle, and also knowing your goals so that you can build relationships and make contacts with people who can help you along your way.
Thank you
so much, Stan. We appreciate all of that great advice.
Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.